Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
One sock is boiling hot. I'm just going to tell the story about my sock. So this morning, so I have these socks that are like my favorite socks. And I put them on yesterday and I was like, okay, I feel like I knew that I was going to lose them or something because I was so hyper aware that I was wearing the socks and I took my socks off before going to
bed. You have to preface, they're your favorite socks.
They're my favorite socks. Like, they're thermal. They're hand-me-down, second owned from Ryan. So like, I didn't buy them myself. They were broken in. And so I love how like I'm just touching my sock, but I took them off last night and I just like made a thing to be like, okay, a mental note. I was about to say make a mental note to be like, okay, the sock is at the end of the bed. I can't forget that tomorrow morning because I'm a divil for like throwing my clothes out, like bomb, like a bomb. And I woke up this morning and of course I'm looking around and I'm like, can't find my sock. So it kind of like started my day off. I like was texting Kim and I was like, my day is just a bit weird this morning, having a weird day this morning. And I genuinely think it's down to not having my other sock.
That would be a surprise.
Will we move in closer?
Yeah.
So our knees are touching.
Oh, cute.
So we have Kimmy here.
Kimmy!
Literally, we talk about Kim in every podcast.
We're like, actually, do you know who'd be good to talk about this? Kim.
So finally, we have Kim. And Keelan put on her story, which I think is funny because I feel like this question really, you could answer it really well.
Oh, wait, before, just on the subject of socks, I saw a TikTok recently about, do either of you have bunions? Do you have bunions?
No.
Okay, so I've inherited bunions off my mother, but they just got absolutely terrible after I gave birth for some reason. It was just like, okay, you're accelerating into old age now. But I saw a TikTok being like, you know the way boys wear those socks are like, it's like wearing a loose towel.
Oh my God. Crusty, like, crispy, like could snap it in half.
Yeah. Why are they like
being
that?
In the oven all the time. Ties with this though, like he'll be in my house and he'll be like, and come into my room like stomping, being like, giving me this look of attitude, and he has his socks in his hand, in his hand, and I'm like, yeah, you gave them to me when I was at your house. Like, why are you so pissed off about this? And he's like, these are my good socks. I'm like, what?
And they're like sloppy, flopping off their feet, you know, dragging off the ground. It's horrible.
Yeah, they're either like 10 foot long or like roast chicken out of the oven. Like,
I'm so happy we're talking about socks because this is exactly what I want to say. Guys are so possessive over their socks. They're like, they're my good socks.
And they're rotten as well.
They're rotten.
They're not even nice. They're like your sock or anything. It's this weird attachment. No. It's like, you know, like women and their bras. It's like the most disgusting bra.
Like the beige Bali t-shirt
bra.
Yeah.
Bali, exactly. Yeah. Like, needs a shave.
Needs a shave.
Oh, fully. And it's like, why am I obsessed with that thing? But I'm obsessed with it. It's literally a piece of shit. Like, that's like guys in their socks.
That's I have one of those, the soft pennies bras, and like, I will rip my room apart if I can't. If I like have a thought where like I'm out somewhere and I'm like, where's that bra?
Yeah.
I will rip my room, and it's like those, like, it's like so, it looks like a thong. It's so tiny.
It's like chewing gum colored.
Yeah. It's so tiny. That, like
not even, wasn't even, not even related to the White family, but probably bought it white.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like that horrible, and the little balls, you know, those machines that you can get and you can, it like,
take
the balls off. Like, it, my bras would give it. I only have one bra, actually.
Neutering the bra.
Yeah, I have one bra.
I have one like cream coloured one and one black one. Wouldn't buy a white one because they go chewing gum coloured.
Chewing gum Bali. Yeah. Bali coloured. Coloured.
But sorry, apparently those like loose tell socks are supposed to be good for bunions. That's what we're all supposed to be wearing. The tight socks are like, they're bad for your foot health. Because they squeeze your toes together.
It's so uncomfortable though.
But like, I remember when I used to, if I borrow socks off my brother when I was a teenager because I couldn't find like matching socks or whatever. Matching socks is a big thing for me. I have to wear matching socks.
Same.
But so I'd find my brother's socks then in the laundry. Oh, lovely and warm out of the like linen cupboard. Mm. And but they were so big. It was like going up a shoe size, so yeah. you'd have to like stuff them in, you know, like shoving them into
and
the shoe.
Like a big mound at your toes when they're in your shoes,
or the heel. You know, the heel of the foot is like up the back of your knees,
it's like at your calf.
Yeah, literally. Love it. Knee high socks, very sexy. Oh my
God, that's so me. Bro. I love those big, big clunky.
Yeah, you do always wear those. Yeah. Big socks.
I always wear those big weird
socks. I religiously wear Christmas socks, like always.
No. Kim, I hate that.
No,
that
know.
Gives me anxiety.
I know people hate that.
I hate
like,
it.
Open my sock drawer, it is snowman's Santa, like all of it.
No. Sorry, I keep like scrolling on my phone and then putting it away and then going back to it. But I'm looking for this question that I saw and it popped out immediately, and it was about living temporary abroad. Do you remember that question?
Yeah.
But like you, Kim, remember we were we mentioned in a podcast before that Keelan said, we were both talking about how you couldn't be completely free in a relationship.
Mm.
You can't be, what is the word?
Independent.
Yeah, yeah, and we were like, Kim. And then we were like, oh, we retract our statement because Kim. So Kim, you've been in a relationship for what, 8 years now?
Nine years. 9 years.
And you've been traveling like... All the time. And you've gone to like...
Usually once a year.
Yeah. And you go like up the mountains doing yoga in the forest on your own. A vision quest. What is it like? Like, how did you get to that place of being able to do that in your relationship? Because like, I feel like people even still 10 years on wouldn't be able to go up a mountain.
Well, like, a lot of people have like a severe attachment anxiety and, you know, like need... like. Even my friend the other day messaged into the group and she was like, it's gotten so bad. Because me and Ty have never lived together. So that probably goes a long way towards that. But like, she was like, it's gotten so bad that if we're away for like 2 nights, like she's freaking out and her anxiety is really bad, like super stressed. And she was like, I actually can't manage it. Like, it's gotten really bad. I think a lot of people have that, especially if you're spending loads of time with that person, like 24/7. Because I'm pretty sure they're both not working as well at the moment. So they're literally in their company constantly. Whereas like me and Ty have never actually lived together unless we were away. But I think like that, the start of that was when I was in second year of college and I just was in like, I was just, you know, do you ever get when you're in that state of like, I need to get away from everything and everyone, like, I don't want to be near my family, I don't want to be near my boyfriend, I don't want to be near anyone, I just want to be by myself. And I like had such a longing to do something like different, like put myself out of my comfort zone and just like go somewhere.
What did you do?
So that's when I went to Italy.
Okay.
And did the work away. And like, even my mum was kind of like, what are you doing going away by yourself? Like, would you not like bring your boyfriend at least, or like someone, you know, even for safety purposes? Like, she was like, what the fuck are you doing going to the mountains, like literally in the middle of nowhere? And I was like, no, I need to be by myself. I need to do it by myself. I don't know where or why that came, like where it came from. But like, I'm kind of feeling that way now, but not necessarily I want to go by myself, but I just want to like do something different, you know?
Yeah, that's because you're like stuck down in this job.
Yeah, I just
that we've spoken about.
See, like I hate...
commitment.
Will we move in?
No, it's fine.
It's fine. I feel like this is brilliant.
Just directed at, you know, whoever's
okay.
speaking.
Okay, because we're using the phone.
Yeah, I do well with not being in my comfort zone. I do well with change. I hate certainty. I hate predictability. Like, this is the first job that I've had that's like a routine and predictable hours. Like, if you think of any job I've had, it's always like, I don't know my roster, I don't know what I'm doing until the day.
You're living life on the edge every day.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Yeah, but that, I don't know, that, because I feel like predictability like kills hope for me or something. Whereas like, if something's predictable, I dread it automatically.
Okay.
So like, I'm not a creature of habit at all. I'm like very much so the opposite.
Yeah.
But then when I went to Italy that time, that was the first time that we had... that I'd like gone away without him, and that was for a month.
How does he react? Like, because like, I think now I'm just like talking about experiences in the past with my exes. Like, I feel like they wouldn't be happy with that. But I feel like if I said to Ryan now,
yeah,
I'm going to go away for a month, he'd be like, absolutely go ahead. But I don't know. I feel like at that age as well, like, you were what age? 19, 20.
Yeah, 20.
I feel like that's such a big decision to just get up and move. Like, as I said, I admire people so much to when they do things on their own, because I can't do anything on my own. So, you know, like, I can barely go to the shop on my own. So when I see people getting up, and especially when they have relationships, because I would be the codependent.
Yeah.
I would be like your friend that you're saying I 2 days away and I'm like, oh my God, they don't like me anymore. You know what I mean? So like, I
don't think it's uncommon, to be honest. Like, I think a lot of people are like that.
Yeah.
It just depends, like, it, like, for different reasons. But I think, like, trust is obviously a huge part of that as well. Like, you know, there was this, thank God, and I don't know how we've created this atmosphere in our relationship, but, like, there's never trust issues. There's never been, like, jealousy in any intense way. And I don't know. I don't really know. I think it's just, like, our personalities as well has, like, a lot to do with it. And, like, he had to grow up in a very independent way. Like, he moved out and was living by himself when he was 16. Mm. Like, way, way before most people, you know? Especially in Dublin.
Mm.
Like, that's quite uncommon.
That's rare.
Yeah, so, real. Yeah. So, like, he would be very independent in that way. And, yeah, I don't know. It was never, like, a question of, like, no, you can't do that or whatever. It was just like, okay, I'm, like, you need to do this for yourself and I need to respect that decision. And, like, I think once you start chipping away at that, it kind of creates that environment in your relationship, if that makes sense. Like, if you, it kind of creates a back and forth. If you start being untrustworthy, and obviously that's way easier said than done, like, but sometimes I think if you start on that train and start that back and forth, you kind of allowed to snowball almost. Yeah. I don't know if that makes sense.
Did you ever go on holidays? I'm pointing at Keelan here. I did a Hollybop. Did you ever go on holidays when you had a boyfriend and be away from them for a week and be like, oh?
I don't know.
Because you lived with your boyfriend.
I lived with my ex-boyfriend.
In Galway, was
the
it?
We were doing long distance at the start. Like, he was in Galway, I was in Dublin.
For how long?
6 months or something.
Oh, wouldn't be me.
But like, that's
wouldn't
not
be me.
Now, I wouldn't even classify that as sort of long distance, because then obviously I did London to Dublin with Jason for a while. Yeah. I'd say that's long distance. I'd say Dublin to Galway is more medium distance.
Yeah, but like, you're not a clingy person though.
I thrive in relationships where they like don't need me that much, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
if they're independent, it's attractive to me.
Yeah.
And a turn on if they like have their own lives going on, because it encourages me then to try better to be more independent.
Exactly.
Whereas we're both clingy, I then turn into a clingy person.
Exactly.
And I'm just like, wait a minute, maybe we do want to be with each other 24/7. And then when I did, when I moved to Galway then, I was so codependent on him. And it was like, I couldn't function because I was so like obsessed with him. I literally couldn't have my own life separate to him. Mm. And I was probably worse because I didn't have my own separate friend group there. And like a circle of people that, you know, my family weren't there. It was just real, like, I was attached to him at the hip, which was good for a while. But then obviously in the long run, I don't think that benefits you in a relationship.
Mm.
So, and then with Jason, it was a bit more different because I already had my like group of friends in London when he moved over. And it
you
was
were
just
settled,
I like, was settled.
Yeah.
So like I had my life, like I like when I we have separate friends and separate things going on.
Yeah.
Can't be doing the same thing. But I have been in a relationship before where he went this is real like he went on an exchange in France to learn French. My first boyfriend, who was like literally it was like, you know those movies where you see the jock and it's like, yeah, well, you're going to be working for me one day. Yeah. And one of those fucking assholes who, like, goes to Harvard and is like, yeah, my parents own a fucking yacht and we go on holidays in the Hamptons. It was literally like that. It was like a total stereotype. He was like that. But when we did long... And then he flew back and forth sometimes back to Ireland because he had a golf tournament.
You hate golf, Kim.
If I see another fucking story of a guy hitting a golf ball from behind, and you know what the worst is, when it's someone else is videoing them hitting a golf ball and they put it on their own story, and I'm like, we don't know where the fuck you're even hitting that to. Like, what are you showing your ass off?
We don't care.
What's going on?
But yeah, we were doing long distance for that while, and I know that from that experience, I was like, oh, that's where I first saw that I kind of liked that situation, where it was a bit long distance. You know, there's a bit of tug
what's the word?
Tug of war.
Tug, a bit of a tug, pullback. There's a bit of a tension there because distance makes the heart grow fonder. So I think that is kind of, you know, it does benefit a relationship the more independent you are separately.
For sure.
But you get caught in being codependent with each other the more time you spend together. So it's more difficult. The more like responsibilities, the more interlocked your lives become. Like if you're living together, the harder it is then to separate.
Break out of it.
But you do need, I think it is healthy though to do that. Yeah. Even though sometimes then, if say if you're living together for a year and then all of a sudden you're like, I think I want to go to Paris for the summer, but like, don't come with me. It would be hard to have the conversation because it's just like, wait.
Because you'd be offended. Yeah. Yeah, I would be climbing the walls.
I'd be like, what do you mean? Yeah. I just would be so like, I'd be like, what do you mean? Oh,
there's a monkey coming through the door.
The puppy.
Hello.
Oh. Hi, Bobby.
Will I pause it?
Yeah.
Independence is good for a relationship. I think the more, but yeah, you would be offended if someone was like, I'm gonna go away for the summer, but don't come with me because I need this time to myself. It would be hard to explain that to someone.
What was Ty like?
He's very respectful. Like, he never really, like, even for you'd swear we're talking about like you saying you're moving away to like
no, but like,
Mars,
but it's still it's
Canada.
Still.
I made that decision before he decided. So like, I was gonna go away for a semester, which is 4 months. So I was gonna be gone for 5 months. Now, obviously, that was with college as well, so it was different because like I wasn't just being like, I'm going here for no reason just to get away from you. Like, but you know, it wasn't even. It was just like, oh, okay, that's gonna be hard, but like, it's gonna happen anyway. And then he ended up doing a full year, so we were there together. But even last year, like, I was like, I don't know, like, you know me, I never know what I'm doing with myself. And I was like my answer to feeling like I don't have any purpose is to just like fuck
jet off.
Which is not helpful, because then when I'm away, I'm like, I'm still, I haven't cured that like lack of purpose.
Problems follow you. You can't escape your own problems.
And like, even worse. I'm like, what am I doing? I'm just like in the middle of nowhere in some country and I still don't have a purpose. But like, we had no plan at all. Like, that was completely open-ended traveling. We were just like, we're just going to go to Portugal.
Actually,
and again,
Keelan doesn't know about this. The Vision Quest.
What?
Vision Quest?
You don't know about this. This is, actually, you were telling Jenny the other night and like, we were both just like, sorry, okay, you need to like, so tell us, explain to Keelan what the Vision Quest is and then your experience with it. Like, this is like kids being born in this place. Like, you'll love it.
Oh my god, I love it.
She loves it already.
Are they breastfeeding?
Oh, you better bet. Breastfeeding in the sweat lodge. Like, so this was, like, as I said, I've done workaways before and like, well, I've done one in Italy before this. Did it 2 years in a row and it was amazing. Staying with loads of volunteers, and we were kind of like working on a retreat center. So the center is there to host, for other people to come and host like yoga retreats or seminar retreats, stuff like that. And you're basically working to keep the center open for like accommodation and stuff. So last year we wanted to find one, but like, you really, and like, I do not say this lightly, like, especially now, it is literally such a good way to exploit people. Like, these websites are fucking dangerous because it can be anyone. Like, you can, so basically it's hosts will put up a post being like, and it can be anything, it can be minding animals, it can be babysitting, like, it can be anything. It's just a platform where people can post basically work for volunteers, and the agreement is usually that you get bed and board, and food and accommodation. And the first ones that we went to, and like, my mum was always like, oh, you know, they're just taking advantage of you, which is true, probably for most places, because like, they're saving a fucking shitload of money, obviously, because they're not paying people. But I was like, I don't care, because I'm having the time of my life. And like, it's like the one in Italy was like life changing, like unbelievable. I had the best time ever. And everyone there was like super sane and copped on and stuff.
So, sorry, do you have any tips then for people who are looking for workaways? Because a lot of people who listen are college students who like want to go away for the summer.
Read the reviews, read all of them, make sure there's like the one I went to in Italy had like hundreds of reviews. It was really well established. It also had a website where they were advertising volunteering on their website. Like, it had, I watched the videos, I looked at the photos. you know, I was back and forth between the owners before I went, like all that kind of stuff. So definitely reviews and just make sure there's loads. And I would always make sure that there's like a fair amount of volunteers there. Like, I think it's much better if there's loads of people because the reviews are much more reliable. Mm. And it's also, I think you just have a better time.
Can I ask you one thing? Do you ever, like, when you went to onto these workaways, like when you were on the way to it, did you regret it at all? Like, were you like, what the fuck am I doing?
The one last year. So this one
is mad, Keelan. You're actually not going to believe this story. I'm really hyping this up, but like, no, you're going to die.
See, Aeltine, so my friend that I went with, Aeltine, we were looking for them. We wanted to go away at the end of March. And then for my birthday, she was like, oh, I booked us flights and I found a workaway. And I was like, grand. Perfect. And then I'm like, so in that place turns into accommodation as well. So like they host people who basically want to go away, but like live in nature. And they have these big safari tents, like kind of like glamping tents, which are stunning. Like they're gorgeous. And in the description for the accommodation, it was like, you get to stay in a tent. And me being naive and just being like, well, I'm working like probably 6 hours a day for you. I'm probably going to get nice enough something at least in return that's not just like a fucking camping tent. Yeah. Assumed that we were going to be getting these safari tents, right?
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. I know where this is going.
Uh-oh. No. I will never forget Kim texting me going, so you know the feeling that I've said it millions of times on this podcast, that feeling when you're going on a sleepover when you're younger. Now,
you want to call your mommy and you're going,
God, do I go into the parent? What do I say? I'm going to be sick. What do I say? That feeling when you text me, you sent me a picture of you in.
It was like in the tent.
Oh, no. My heart dropped out of my ass and was like, oh my God, she's meant to be there for like, what, 3 months? And she's in a fucking tent?
So what happened?
What happened?
So we get there and like the woman picks us up from the town, which is called Al Jazeera. I don't know if it's classified as being in the Algarve, but it's in that area. Mm. And as soon as I got into the car, I was like, I don't like this woman. I don't get on with her. She's like real distant, far away, not like caring at all, just like kind of blunt and like scary, and I don't know. I was just like, ooh.
The empath is like boiling inside.
Oh, no. Yeah.
You feel everything.
I was like, what the fuck? And then obviously we're driving up these mountains and stuff, and just the way she was talking, I was like, it was so impersonal. Yeah. I was like, I'm just another cunt getting into your car that you are totally exploiting. Mm. So we go up there, and like in Italy, for example, you go in and like they're so welcoming and they're like, you know, showing you around. The first thing they do is they bring you to your room, which like I'm a person, as soon as I land somewhere, I unpack everything and put them on their shelves. Like I need everything in their drawers. Like I need like to settle into my space before I can be comfortable meeting all these fucking random people. Mm. So we get there and she's just like, yeah, you just dump your bags like there on the driveway kind of place. So we're like, okay, Aeltine's big bottle immediately gets run over by a truck and and they're just like, oh shit. And then we walk into the kitchen, and I also at the time, like, I've never felt so like ugly. Like, you know when you just go through those phases where you feel shit about yourself?
Oh, like my don't body, we know it.
Body dysmorphia through the roof. Oh, like, yeah. Pale, felt like shit. Like, just felt, and like real, like, oh, just felt horrible.
Sticky.
Sticky,
and like, and just
felt
like
really not myself.
And that, like, you're like coming in going, I'm gonna eat all your food kind of buzz.
And like, you know when you just wanna put on like a hoodie and tracksuit, but it was fucking roasting hot, and I was like, oh, I'm like in no clothes, and like I'm just like a pale chicken, and and like walk into the kitchen and there's these like the most beautiful human beings I've ever seen in my life, full of these girls, and I was like, of course, like looking at, like, the first person I saw, this girl, oh my God, she's like literally the most stunning person I've ever seen, like bright blue eyes and like that gorgeous like golden tan, but real deep tan, super long hair and like real slender and tan and just beautiful. And I'm there like, also the day before I had for some reason made the decision to change my black laces on my shoes into green laces, as in I was having an identity crisis.
You're like, oh, this is could be a bit funky.
That'd be cool.
Oh no. No. No.
I don't know what
no,
I'm
no. And I was like,
oh, no.
I was like comparing yourself to the cool girls at school.
Oh exactly. No.
What shoes are they? What shoes are they?
My Skechers, like my big like platform.
Oh, Kim.
I don't know.
It's because one of the tops that I kept wearing on that holiday was green, and I was like, yeah, they can match.
No.
I remember walking into that kitchen and all I could think about was my fucking green laces. And I was like, I'm such a little fucking weirdo. Like, and then anyway, she's showing us around and like telling us what the work's going to be. And the whole time I'm like, where the fuck are we staying? And I'm looking at the weather app and like there's a storm that evening. So like we go, we have lunch with them, like all this kind of stuff. At lunch, they were talking about the Vision Quest. I hadn't even gotten on. I was like, what the fuck is the Vision Quest? I just want to know where I'm staying. So then it starts getting like windy and a little bit rainy. And I'm like, okay, like, what can you show us to like our nice room or whatever? And she's like, yeah, so you're going to be pitching a tent up like on the edge of a fucking cliff, like top of a mountain. And it was called the Volunteers Village, and like it looked like a refugee camp.
Oh my
like it
God.
Was like it was like these big containers, and like and she was like, oh, you can like they didn't even hand us a tent. They were like, you have to go into these big industrial containers and find like each pole and peg and rope and like bits of a tent that you need. Like they weren't even like, here is a tent.
Oh.
So it starts like
fucking like a scavenger hunt for your accommodation.
Yeah, yeah,
love it. Love it. They're like, this is the Vision Quest.
And they're also like, there's loads of nice stuff, but they're like, no, you can't touch the nice duvets and the pillows and stuff. Like, you're not allowed to touch any.
Oh, you're
of that.
Just a volunteer.
Yeah. And I'm like, they're being like, okay, Jesus Christ. So then, anyway, that whole day, I was like, you know, like, lump in my throat, holding back the tears. ALT knew, and she felt really bad because she obviously was the one who organized it.
Yeah.
So anyway, then like it turned out to be an amazing time because it was so bizarre, but they're talking about a Vision Quest and I'm sitting there being like, what the fuck's everyone talking about and why won't anyone explain what they're talking about? Like it was this real like, you know, we've tapped into this consciousness that you're unaware of. And it's with the workaways, there's a lot of that spiritual woo-hoos.
Woo-woo.
A bit of woo-woo.
Woo-woo.
But like, it's real
pretentious. It's like not even, like I would be spiritual in many ways, but it's real like, you're not even allowed to join in this conversation because you don't know what I'm talking about because like you haven't done enough sweat lodges or you haven't done ayahuasca or you haven't blah, whatever, insert fucking spiritual practice. And then they were like, so it originated as like, it's like an indigenous ritual, I guess you call it, ritual ceremony, right. For adolescent males, because and this is like, you know, a long, long time ago when people actually, like men actually did need to go out and hunt and stuff. And they thought like, okay, women have like a very clear coming of age because we get periods and, you know, it's very, very clear. Mm-hmm. Whereas they felt that like males basically didn't have that. So they needed to do a Vision Quest. So it is that you go up in isolation into the mountains and you dry fast. So you don't drink any water. You don't eat any food for 3 days straight. And you're not close to anyone. Like you can't see anyone, you can't interact with people. And you basically have a circle that you have to sit in. And originally it was that you stared at a feather and you don't sleep for the 3 days as well.
This sounds
so bad for you.
I know.
Oh my God.
Like midsummer. Like it
I know.
Like I knew you'd be terrified. It just gets worse.
No, I understand the dry fast, but the not sleeping. Like the sleeping is so detrimental to your health.
Yeah,
health.
Doesn't that send you Lula?
Like, and I know. Remember that episode of iCarly where Spencer doesn't sleep? And he goes crazy, so it's hallucinating.
I wasn't on iCarly fun.
But like, I think that's the point. Like they
want you to hallucinate.
It's that you like experience like a vision that is going to be in some way life changing. Exactly. So like it is definitely meant to be extremely intense and like basically an endurance test and a survival test. So I was like, you know, me being normal person was like, is that okay? And I know these things are definitely possible, but they require a serious amount of preparation and like a lot of care has to be taken, especially for the people who were doing it. And like they had the shaman family come in half the volunteer, like, you obviously didn't have to do it. Okay. Half the people who were doing it were volunteers who, say, had been there the year before, and they experienced other people doing it. This year, the wife, so the owner of the workaway, was doing it as well. Also, bear in mind, they had two kids who, like, were there every day. So, like, our volunteer house was right beside their family home on the same land. Mm-hmm. It was really bizarre. And then, anyway, they had, like, a shaman family come and, like, host a vision quest. They do loads of sweat lodges before. I think there's, like, a five-day prep. And then they go up the mountain. And
what's a sweat lodge?
Sweat lodge is, like,
really hot sauna, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a dome created with sticks, and then they pile loads of blankets on it so that heat can't get out, and you heat up volcanic rocks, and then you put volcanic rocks in the middle of the circle and pour water on it, so it's like a really hot sauna, but it's pitch black and you can't stand up, like, you have to sit down, and it's really cramped, like, I did one with Elton, you're like super close to everyone.
Okay.
That sounds dangerous as well, no? Like, dehydration.
Before they go up, and they do one when they come down.
Okay. And is that the people, that's not Vision Quest, that's Sweat Lodge? And
no, Sweat Lodges are part of the Vision Quest.
Oh, okay, okay.
So this is the prep, and then they go up to the mountain, they do the 3 days.
Okay.
One woman got severe sunstroke and said that she almost died. Oh, and then the wife got kidney stones, had to come down early. And, like, I don't want to sound like I am bad-mouthing these practices, because they are sacred rituals for people, and they do, like, that's, you know, they're your own beliefs and values and whatever. But these people were really fucking lost human beings, and they were not screened properly. Like, one of the girls was, I don't think, okay. And it didn't seem like there was much care taken for their mental state, and that's what freaked me out. And also, like, I was asking people, like, I was so interested in, like, what their purpose was, like, yeah. I was like we're not hunter-gatherers and we're not indigenous people, and you don't hold those beliefs that indigenous people do, so why are you doing this ritual? There must be a good reason why you're doing this, because it's so intense. And, like, most of them were just like, I need to experience something intense, and, like, yeah. I need to, like, basically test myself, see if I can survive, like, all these kind of reasons, which, like, each their own, but I don't know.
It's a bit mad, like, Jesus Christ, like, would you not just, like, yeah. like, maybe turn your phone off or, like, delete Instagram or something?
Yeah. No, I'd say these people don't have social media. Like, if you're going to those lengths, it's like you're looking for something, you know, the way everyone has a God-shaped hole. They're just looking for something.
What does that mean? I've never heard that before.
They're trying to find a purpose, trying to find God. So people will go to any lengths to try do that. Mm. So I understand from that perspective. But if you're giving yourself a near-death experience to do that, it's probably like you probably need a bit more help.
Yeah.
But yeah, I get it.
We were talking about it's like, you know, remember those shows that we said this the other night that they like take ayahuasca, and then it's like an American show,
yeah.
And they there's like cameras all around, and you can actually watch people in these experiences.
That's fucked up that they video that though,
because
like
supposed to be a private experience,
yeah. And you can watch it on TV. I remember watching it, and like people lose their fucking marbles.
See, this is it though, like so much of this, and that's like workaways and all, and like you have to be so careful of these people who put them, because like a lot of people in our society are so lost because we don't, like, religion has fallen away and stuff, so people actually, like, we don't have the same
sense of community, and exactly. Yeah, so we've lost that in like individualism,
yeah.
So that's why I can imagine myself if I was in a very vulnerable position going to one of these workways,
yeah.
That would sound I can actually imagine myself seeing that as appealing,
yeah,
one of those things. And especially if the people around you in the community you're living with are all so interested in and advocating for it, yeah. I can understand why you'd want to do that, especially if people are coming back from the experience being like, I had an out of body experience, yeah. I found God. It would almost entice you to do something like that.
Yeah.
So I do understand it. But yeah, sorry, go on.
And it's always like super vague and like so ambiguous. Like you don't really ever know. Like it's never really articulated what people get from it. It's always just like, oh, find it
for yourself. You'll have to do it for yourself.
It was life changing. Yeah, like, yeah, oh, it changed my life. But what changed your life? Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I want to know details of what changed your life. But a lot of people would be attracted to that whole statement of that was life changing.
Yeah.
People are instantly attracted to that because they're like, oh,
I want to change my life. Yeah. You know what I mean? I want to change in my life. But I personally, for like, I would never, like, you know, the way you said you'd be interested, and I could so see that one day you being like, I'm going up the mountains. Yeah. I'm pointing at Keelan here. I could definitely see you do that. Me, on the other hand, I don't think I would go to that extent.
Yeah. I've been interested, like, I think I would do ayahuasca minus the puke part. You know, the way you have to like vomit on a, you vomit before you do it.
What?
You purge. Yeah, you purge.
Wait, what?
Yeah. I wouldn't be interested
no,
in that.
No. We have to go back. You purge. What do you mean you purge? The sirens go off.
No, when you take to...
No, when you take the ayahuasca.
Yeah, when you take the ayahuasca, you like... basically, everything is leaves your body.
Like you empty.
Yeah.
Like you get sick. Like you
shit yourself completely. Like you, your body totally empties itself. But like, I think that's, you know, part of it as well. Like, yeah, like...
Oh my god! That's a bit much.
I think if you're actually
like, I think if you're taking it and you're like properly led and you're in a safe space and stuff, you probably don't. Like, I think if you're at that stage, you don't give a shit about shitting yourself.
Yeah, no, it's like you don't care anymore. But I remember when my mom used to rent out a room in our family home, like a homestay thing. Mm. We'd get like the weirdest characters coming to the house, but we had this lovely couple from they were from Hawaii, and this girl, she was very woo woo, and she was like, we came here for a purpose. She's like, we came here for a reason. We were supposed to meet each other, like to my family. And we'd all like drink together after dinner. And it was such a nice experience. She started crying when she had to leave that day. But when she was talking to my mom, she was like, you have a bad spirit inside you and you need to get rid of it. And then now I don't know the full details, but my mom said this in a private conversation. She was like, you need to do X, Y, and Z. And then this bad spirit and this toxic energy and this bad omen will leave your body. And then that evening, my mom, and they weren't drinking this night, my mom like projectile vomited for literally 3 hours.
Oh, what?
Yeah, after she did some sort of woo-woo.
Wait, did your mom do the woo-woo?
No, the woman did it onto my mom.
Onto your own? Oh yeah. My God. Yeah. See, I am a firm believer in like all that kind of stuff, and especially when it comes to like, I don't know, are like mediums the same thing with like
sort of, it's just believing in something larger than yourself. Mm. I definitely do, but yeah, I don't know exactly what it is, but
yeah, I'm the exact same.
I do believe that there's something else out there, like, you know, there's with skepticism.
Skepticism,
like there's a lot, like, you know, you see the shows on TV, like, do you ever watch Taylor the Medium, Hollywood Medium?
No. No.
Do you not watch that? No. The Hollywood Medium. Oh my God, fucking brilliant. No, guys, I'm...
Brilliant.
No, fucking brilliant. So he goes to like the Kardashians' house and it's like, this is something really bad's going to happen to you. And like, well, something very bad happened. But like, I get sucked into that kind of stuff and I would believe it. Mm. This kind of stuff with the like, I'm not taken to it, but I am a spiritual person and I do believe in... Do you believe in ghosts?
Definitely.
Your spirits.
Like, yeah. Like I almost want to say I'd like to.
Oh, sure. Sure, we all know about my ghost stories.
The opposite, like, not believing in spirits is way worse.
Yeah.
I'm just like...
It just means like, we die and that's it, you know? Exactly. I love seeing a white feather, seeing a white butterfly, seeing a dove, you know, the magpies. Yeah. I love all of that.
Yeah. Only two though, not one.
And if
one.
Someone's looking after you, a cold chill going by, like, I just feel like it makes me... it actually comforts me and makes me feel like I'm being protected by something larger than myself. Yeah. So I do actually like believing in those. Sort of
I
things.
Think it's true, you know, in for my granny's funeral, no word of a lie, we were sitting in the church and a white feather fell on me and my sister. Like, or it was me and my mom. Anyway, the person to my left. And it was like at her funeral. Mm. Like, where would a white feather come from in a church? Yeah. We have it laminated in the kitchen.
Aww.
Like,
do you know,
like those type of things. I'm just like, I remember when I was going through a breakup last year. And so three of my grandparents are gone. And three feathers fell. Like, I remember standing outside. I was on the phone to my mammy and I was crying and I was like, oh, just this, that and the other, crying about everything. And three white feathers fell. And I was like, mammy, you're not going to believe this because like that there's three grandparents. So I believe in that kind of stuff. But when it comes to, again, I just repeated myself, when it comes to like the vision quest and stuff, I'm just a bit like, ah. Give over, like,
yeah,
do you know?
And like these...
It's not very bad.
No, I don't think there's like... The shamans and what they believe.
What's a shaman?
I don't even know how to define it.
It's like a spiritual guide, isn't it?
Yeah. But like, they weren't like...
Like, even when I was in Italy, the people who were hosting the seminars were like he was just a businessman who like literally lived in Hawaii. He couldn't have been a less spiritual person, and he was just like good at, and he was like proper like textbook, like, I'm going to change your life, and you know,
like a cult leader sort of was.
Literally, yeah.
Drinking
the
Kool-Aid.
Yeah,
love it.
Proper. Yeah, like so clearly as well. But like we, even the volunteers and stuff, like we'd be like cutting his head out of leaflets and sticking them on egg cartons and stuff, like taking the piss, because he was so obviously, like, we were like, how are these people coming to these retreats and paying like $5,000 a week to like go?
What?
Yeah, for him. And he was just like a spiritual leader. I'm fucking exclamation marks. And you know, like the typical like preying on people who are lost and being like, if you just do these things, then you're going to feel X, Y, and Z, which like no one has the answer to anything. And you can't be giving a blanket answer to anyone's problems, especially when it comes to feeling lost and purpose and stuff. Like that's very deep-seated and very internal and very subjective to each individual. Sure, you can give them tools, but like, you know, it was very like, and he's like a millionaire who lives in Hawaii, do you know what I
mean? Hawaii.
Whereas like the shamans who came, like they, not their philosophy was not like that at all. Like their philosophy is very much so about like the land and like how we need be more connected to nature and how we're all one. And they would live off the land. They've never had a home. They lived in a caravan. Like one of them was born in a sweat lodge. Like they're very like very connected to nature, which is, it wasn't like a set of values or beliefs apart from the very basic fact that like we are all nature, like that kind of stuff. So they weren't promising anything, I don't think, with the Vision Quest. They were like, if you want to do this, you can, and we will just host it for you. But it was more so like the actual owners of the Workaway, I think they were the problem in many ways, especially for the volunteers, because it like basically got to a point. So one of the volunteers, like he'd been there for months, like 7 months or something, and he had what seemed like a really good relationship with the wife, so the woman who was hosting the work, or hosting the, like our boss basically, and he was like the fire keeper of the sweat lodges, so he was the one who would open the door and put the volcanic rocks in. So he was around all these like traumatized people and like hearing about all of their, like them releasing their emotions and like real heavy stuff. And after the Vision Quest ended, he basically was like, I need 2 days off, because we're going straight from it being a Vision Quest to it being accommodation, which are two completely separate things. And he was just like, I am exhausted and I'm so emotionally drained and like I don't feel well. And then it started to get weird because the owners were just being like real, like not being cognizant of people's feelings and stuff. So,
which is kind of ironic, because isn't that the whole thing, that like they're meant to be helping people? And they're making it worse, like.
Exactly. But like, I just think they were fucking exploiting people. This is it. Like, there's so many people on that platform who just are like, perfect. We can just get people who we don't have to pay. We don't even have to provide them with accommodation. Eventually, they started locking the food cupboards on us because they were like, they got this Irish girl, the poor fucking girl. She was cooking for like 12, 15 people by herself. She had like 2 mental breakdowns. And she wasn't even being like, I don't want to do this. She was like, I just want someone else to be in the kitchen with me. And they were like, yeah, no worries. And then they like wouldn't put anyone else on with her. And they were keeping her on food because she was making like the most insane food for us, like unbelievable cooking. And then they'd like come into the kitchen and they'd like turn their nose up at something that she made, and they'd be like, oh, you're using too much of like that thing. Meanwhile, none of us are living in any accommodation that even requires electricity or anything. Like we had no washing machines, like none of that.
And you're still in a tent at this stage?
Yeah, we upgraded to a caravan that like didn't...
Upgrade!
Lap of luxury at that point, like, but it wasn't even.
I remember this story, and you were like, "They gave us a caravan; we can do whatever we want to it." Is this the same time, or is this a different?
No, that was a different one. Okay, that was like no, the next Workaway they gave us a fucking gaff. Like they literally gave us a house. That. Like it was totally different experience. But this one, we moved into a caravan that was like, it wasn't like a functional working caravan. Yeah. Like it was just a structure, and it was literally on the fucking side of a cliff, like properly on the side of a cliff. And anyway, we started like, people were clearly like, I don't know, everyone's mental health just got really bad, went really downhill. There was mad stuff happening. There was an opening in a relationship happening. in it that was like making everything really weird, and like it all just got really intense. And we like, we wanted to have like to talk to the owners like collectively about how we were feeling, and they basically were like, we're unavailable, like we're too busy, whatever. So we were like, okay, we'll just like call a circle with us and like talk about how we're feeling, because everyone's clearly not okay. And then the owners like went mad, and they were like, I can't believe you went behind our backs and had a meeting without us, and like all this kind of stuff. And we were like, okay, what the fuck is going on? And I was like, I fucking knew it from day one that these people were psychos.
Yeah.
So then they call a circle with them and all of the volunteers together. And it was the most bizarre thing I've ever experienced. Like, these people who have been working for these cunts for like, some of them were there for like 9 months and stuff. And this guy that was the firekeeper, he was like, I'm just really like emotionally not okay and exhausted and all this kind of stuff. And 2 days before, there had been like 2 days of rain, and the whole table went around talking about how they felt and like how they thought the work was unfair, blah blah blah. And their only response was, okay, maybe you're just physically unfit for this work, which didn't make any sense because it wasn't even physically demanding, or, oh god, that storm really messed up all the energy here. And like, I remember me and ALT,
the weather, bury me,
the storm.
I'm like, oh, I can't do that today, it's raining now.
Oh my god.
You know when you're like,
must be the weather.
Yeah, literally.
Feeling very down.
Feeling blue.
Feeling very blue, must be the weather. Like, oh my god.
Like, to everything. And this after they locked the food. So we're not getting proper accommodation, and now we're not allowed to have food. So like, they
gave
one.
What was that about? Like, how can they lock the cupboards? Like,
there's too much. You're using too much
snacking going on. Like, stop with the snacking.
We just imagine Kim creeping into the creeping into the kitchen.
They gave the key to one person.
Oh my god.
So you had to text her if you wanted a fucking apple, like.
Oh, that's shocking.
That's really bad. That's really bad.
That's really scary.
Yeah, it's really horrible.
I was like, okay, now we are firmly in a cult. Like, we need to get the fuck out of here. And like, that day, you know when you're in primary school and you're like pinching your friend under the table, like me and Ailton were like, oh my god, oh my god. And they were like, yeah, the storm, like they must have said it about 15 times. And we were like, oh my god. And then we all basically were like, okay, I think we're all going to leave in like 2 days. And they were like, well, you know, before we opened up for accommodation a few years ago, we just kicked all of the volunteers out and we were fine without them anyway. And we were all just like, right, we're all leaving on Sunday then. And we all left, like literally about 12, 13 of us all left on the one day. Like, we fucking fleed the place and we were like, what just happened?
Now that's massive. Mammy, pick me up, I want to go home. I'd be calling
as soon as I arrived. Mammy, get me a private jet out of here.
Get
a helicopter immediately.
And like that, I would have scaled the walls. Like, this is why. Like, you're just mad.
There was
scaling the tent.
Scaling the tent. Scaling the poles of the tent.
Scaling the mountain. Like, I was fucking scaling the mountain in that tent.
And
like,
so how did you get out of there? Like, what was the outcome of that? Like,
there was actually a festival on.
Oh, love.
It was like a market that turned into a festival. That we had planned to go to anyway, but we were like, oh, grand, we'll all just leave and go to that. Because people had caravans and stuff. So we were like, oh, we'll all just like go.
Yeah.
That was the time we went out on the Friday and we went on like a mad one, and like, oh, it was really bad. Anyway, like, basically me and one of the other Irish girls went missing, but we didn't go missing. We basically stayed out like until like 3 p.m. the next day,
blowing some steam off. Like, come on. Like, oh, after all of that drama.
Guys, can we pause because I really need to pee, and I'm loving the story.
Yeah, of course.
Oh yeah, you were blowing off some steam.
You're blowing off steam.
Yeah, we just
literally blowing off steam. Sweat lodge.
Yes.
Very good.
Sweat lodge.
You went missing.
Yeah, basically, yeah, no, actually, so we just, like, we were at this bar place, and then everyone went home, and they were like, either you come home with us or like you find your way home later. And we were like a good 3 hours away. So we were just like, yeah, fuck it. It was me, Ailteen, and the other Irish girl. And then we ended up like going back to this house, and one of the other girls went missing. I also went missing.
And elaborate of the went missing. What were you doing?
I left to get drink And I just ended up like having too much of a good time. But Aelting was, as in like, I was just off with people just like being...
having fun.
Yeah, silly. And Aelting didn't know because she had been asleep when I left. And I'd been gone for hours, like, and my phone was in the house. So they didn't know where the fuck I was. And the other Irish girl was also missing. She was in some, with some guy. And then I came back and... I remember I knocked on the door and the guy that owned the house opened the door and he was like, he just said something. He was like, oh my God, or something like that. And I was like, what? And he like called Aelting in and she was like bawling her eyes out, crying, like having a total breakdown. She was like, I thought you were dead. Meanwhile, she had gone out, walked around like the town that we were in, going into the bakeries and stuff with a photo of me being like, have you seen this girl? She had to call the volunteers. So we had also like, we didn't go to work this day and stuff. The Irish girl was the one who was cooking for everyone. She's meant to be on cooking duties that day as well. And I was like, yes, I love the way she's not there because fuck them. Like,
yeah.
And she had rang the workaway and told all the volunteers that we had gone missing. So the volunteers had to borrow the car of the owners and drive around Al Jazeera looking for me and fucking this other girl. Like, we were absolutely grand. But I remember, like, I was, because I'd been out in the sun for like hours and hours. Like, I'd say I was gone for 5 hours. And I was like, fucking, like, I had gained, I'd say, 10 million freckles, like, looked like a different person, like, sunburned, everything. And I remember getting back to the house and everyone was like, it was real serious. Like, everyone was like coming up and hugging us, being like, I can't believe you're, thank God you're okay. And like, we were so worried about you and stuff. And the wife just walked in and looked at me and was like, I can see the fire in your eyes. And I was like, oh my God, she thinks I'm the fucking devil. This woman hated me. Like, we just did not get on. But we were leaving the next day. So we got up the next morning. We just packed our bags and we just went to that festival thing. Yeah. But yeah, anyway, that's a very long-winded way of saying be careful.
Be careful. So it all started of tips on the workaway.
Okay, guys. This could happen if you go on a workaway.
Yeah, but that's the thing. But like the taking advantage of young thing. Like kids, basically. Because like nine, you said there was like a 21-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're not technically a kid, but like they are. Oh, yeah. I'm still a kid. Kind of.
Oh my God.
Like, Keelan's like, I'm not a kid. Definitely not a kid. But no, I to be personally honest, I wouldn't do a workaway.
But I'm just not that kind of buzz, you know?
I've seen some horror stories when people are like nannying abroad. And yeah, it's the same where the kid, there was some girl and she put up a post about like one of the children she was nannying for had to go to A&E and then the mom left her in the car with the toddler. With like no nappy bag or anything, and the toddler then shot himself, no nappy bag, left locked in the car of the car park. And you know when you're in A&E, like you're there for 8 hours.
Oh,
she just left them in the car. Like
God.
The girl couldn't drive or anything. They were just sitting in the car waiting.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, it must have stank.
Yeah, I know. But imagine screaming, crying to poor screaming, crying toddler. Oh, yeah, horrific. God.
Wait, where did you hear this?
This is on the internet now.
Oh,
on the internet.
On the World Wide Web.
Yeah. Oh! I hope you can hear that in the back. Let's spice things up a bit.
Let's spice it up.
Let's spice things up. How to know and navigate when you've outgrown a friend or when a friendship is toxic? This is such an interesting question because I am really interested at the moment of people's friends. And like, I'm so invested in people's friendships. And I'm always, I wouldn't say like, I'm not judging them, but I'm always like, very clued in to what's going on. I'm very clued in to how people are treated, what people are like. Mm. And the main thing, you know, the way you always hear of a narcissistic boyfriend or girlfriend, you never hear about a narcissistic friend. Mm. There's so many friendships that people have that are being, it's like a hold over them, that they're like, there's a narcissistic way.
I don't think there are that many. I think narcissism is a rare enough disorder. It's just like sometimes people are just cunt bags and don't know how to, don't know how to be friends.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But yeah, it's weird because Ellie sent me, now I went through a friendship breakup recently, well, not recently, like months ago, but Ellie sent me this poem called All My Friends Have New Beliefs. And it was just about, like, you know, how people grow in different directions, and maybe they've, you know, people just get a bit weird, you know, when you get older. When you're younger, it's able to, like, people are, you're kind of, you have so many similar interests, you're all on the same path. And then when you get to a certain age, you just, like, fucking, it's like bouncing off the walls, complete opposite different directions. Yeah. And it's just, like, impossible to come back from. Where you're like, I don't even know how to talk to you anymore. Do you know? Yeah. It's just weird.
And it's so, like, me and Elsie were talking about this recently, and we were like, it's so difficult. Like, it's hard enough with relationships to bring stuff up that is uncomfortable and be like, I'm feeling this way. Like, you're making me feel this way, and you're doing this thing that's making me. It's impossible to do that with friends. Like, I find it so, so hard. If you feel like a friend is making you feel a certain way, I don't know why, but for some reason, it's just,
I agree.
So difficult.
I definitely like, agree.
It feels like way more raw and like,
because you feel like you're being a high maintenance friend, because it's like supposed to be relaxed, and it's not, you're not supposed to depend on each other that much with a friend, where it's more understandable with the relationship, because you're like, you spend more time together, so it's like expected to have those conversations,
and it's more normalized, like, in relationships.
But with a friend, you're not really supposed to be like, oh, let's talk about our dynamic right now. You know, it's like, will we go to friendship counseling?
Sorry, that would be a very Ellie Moncrief thing. Let's talk about our dynamic right now. So how do you think we're getting on?
We have good chats, we have a good time.
But maybe there should be more of that.
Definitely.
Yeah. There should be more of that.
Especially if you want the relationship to last long, those conversations should be had.
And like with friendships, like, resentment is a massive thing. And resentment is a product of not communicating. Mm-hmm. Like, if you feel a certain way about someone, you don't say it, like, we all know, then that just gets locked in your mind, doesn't fucking leave. And then the more stuff that they do, you just add to the resentment that you already feel. But like with relationships, it's normalized to be like, if there's such a conversation around, like, oh, have you spoken to him about it, and like, you should be able to be open with your partner and stuff. But with friends, you never hear that advice.
No. And like, I think with relationships as well, they're like, obviously, a relationship, they would see a different side to you than a friend would. Yeah. Like, they see that, like, intimate side. Like, I was telling you the story, you had gone, but I was saying a story of, like, it was, like, maybe, like, last week or something, and I was bawling my eyes out being a brat, and Ryan took my phone. I'll actually show you the picture. I actually need your reaction.
Didn't take a picture of you.
Oh, please. On my phone, and goes,
sorry, I love him for this. Like, no, I'm so obsessed.
No, I just need to get your live reaction. But he took a photo of me.
Get the cover photo of the spot.
Okay. If you want to, but like, it's really bad. No, because he was like, Amy, stop. Like, why are you so upset? And I was like, I didn't, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, anyway, give me your phone quick. And I was like, why? He was like, I just need to take a photo of you right now. And I
was, the kiddiest cry I've ever seen in my life. Like, you look like a proper toddler in it.
Hang on. Let me just find it. I found it pretty quickly the other day. But, oh, hang on now. Here, it's coming up. It's coming up. Oh my God.
Oh my God, Eva. I can actually hear that picture.
Look at the saliva. Look at the saliva that's like stuck to my teeth. But like, you'd never sit in front of a friend. Of course you'd sit in front of a friend and cry. Not like that.
No.
You just don't. Yeah. You don't cry. Yeah. Guys, look at my eyebrows. Like, they're all swept down.
I can't tell if you look 7 or 70.
Do you know what I mean?
My t-shirt's also on backwards. just to help it.
Proper, like, dribbly cry.
Yeah, dribbly cry. But like, your friend would never turn around and be like, give me your phone. Like, they'd it would be so much more serious. Now, it depends on the situation. But like, I feel like relationships,
you don't even get into those chats anyway of like, you're making me feel this way and I'm so sad. Like, that's, I don't know, maybe people do. I certainly.
Yeah. I don't know. I have heard of other people who have friendships like that where they're always
you know, maybe coming into conflict, but it's probably if they're really dependent on each other and spend a lot of time together.
Yeah.
But I've never had a friendship like that, where it's like, you know, butting heads all the time and needing to have conversations, you know, those tough conversations. Because that's not the friendship that I would like, I don't think. Where it's just like, it's too much.
Yeah, like, no. I hear about it, like, especially, I always get the goss when I'm tattooing. And like, again, the age group that I tattoo, a lot of them are like quite young. And it's like the goss is like, oh yeah, like, you know, I fell out with this person or that person because I got a boyfriend or because I got a girlfriend. And it's like, really, like, those type of friendships scare me because I'm like, oh God, I would never want someone to fall out with me because I have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. You know what I mean? So it's like, those type of friendships are never really like spoken about that much, I guess. But like, we've all of us here have lost a friend or broken up with a friend. But the question was how to. I don't really know.
I don't know if it's toxic. It's hard to know.
I think I definitely, for myself, I always kind of line it up in my head in a way of the what you do for them, and kind of think of like, well, what have they done for you other than this, well, like, that and the other.
What is the question? How do you know if it's toxic?
Like, how do you know when to like break away?
I mean, if you're asking the question, you probably know.
But like, it's like easier said than done. Like, I personally, like, I had a friendship and I was so glad that something bad happened because the person, it was an excuse. The person was constantly doing bad things to me, like really, really fucking bad things. And I was just letting them slide because I just don't like conflict. And then they did something awful. And it was like, yes, now I can finally fucking break away from you because you're toxic in my life. But I think it's when you're surrounding yourself with people who are like definitely treating you better and noticeably better, because you can spend a lot of time with one person and then realize that, you know, the person that you met last week is treating you so much better than this person that you're spending all your time with. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I know from like the last breakup I went through, we were always kind of had that relationship. I was sort of attached to them because we were friends for so long and we like went through so many things together, if that makes sense. But we'd always have this relationship where it was like light slagging back and forth banter, sort of like brother and sister sort of way, which I like in a relationship. You know, if you can take the piss out of each other, it's like a comfort thing. But then there was loads of situations where they were like, oh, this person said this bad thing about you. And it's just like, why are you bitching about me to other people? You know, it's like, why do those people feel comfortable to bitch about me to you? And then why are you also relaying the information to me? And it's like, I don't want to feel horrible after every time we have a conversation. And I also know in my bones that you talk shit about me behind my back.
Are you getting emotional?
No.
Oh, God.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not, because I just gave them the break, gave them the fucking boot, obviously. Yeah. But it's just like, I went through that for so, I put up with that for probably 2 years of them being like bitched about me when I got engaged, bitched about me when I got pregnant. And it's like, those are two huge milestones in my life. And they're being like, oh, literally rolling their eyes. And it's like, what's wrong? Like, what kind of a bitter cunt are you to be like rolling your eyes at something like that when we've been friends for so long? And it's like, we're both imperfect people and we both have flaws, but it's just like, why do you have to be horrible throughout like big changes in my life? And
that's
like,
all what, jealousy.
Like, what? Yeah, of course it is. And what? Like, some people are just friends so that they have a fucking topic of conversation to bitch about with the other friend, in inverted commas. As in, like, if you actually question, like, do they actually care about me? Like, do they care about what I'm going through? Like, you, like, we'd be aware of what's going on in each other's lives. And, like, it's like, you know, we'll be like, how is that specific thing? Like, how is, like, your mom, or how is your sister, or how is whoever? And, like, that's because we really care. I don't, I'm not asking you that because I want to go and, you know, turn around to Keaton next week and be like, oh, did you hear about Emer's sister or her mum or something like that? Where I feel like that, like, I've been through friendships like that, where like I've confided in people because I think that they're asking me about myself because they care about me. And then I end up, you know, being open with them because I'm like, oh, they actually care. And then 2 weeks later, someone will turn around to me and be like, oh, I heard about X thing. And I'm like, oh, okay, so this has been talked about in a group full of people. And the only reason they're saying it back to me is to get the update. It's not even to be like, how are you?
how do you feel about this situation? It's to be like, oh, I wonder, could I squeeze any more update about this gossip about this fucking girl? That's when I realized, when I realized people were spinning really personal stuff that I thought was confidential around with other people, I was like, okay, no. That means that they don't care about my emotions. They don't actually really deep down care about how I'm doing, mm-hmm. you know? Like, why, if you question why they're actually friends with you, and that doesn't have to be, you know, they don't have to be doing stuff for you or anything like that. But I think it's kind of clear if people really care about how you're doing.
Yeah, I think that a huge question for me is, how are you?
Yeah.
If they ask you how you are,
yeah.
It's some people can be like, how are you, babe? But not actually care. But like, if someone's like, yeah. how are you? And they respond. But like, a lot of those type of friendships, if you go, they ask you, how are you? And then you say this, that, and the other. They are only asking you so that they can tell you about themselves as well, which is like obviously draining, because like a lot of people, like myself, empathetic. So like immediately, no matter what's going on in my life, I will latch on to them, be like, oh God, I feel really bad for them, when it's like, wait a minute, you just asked me how I am. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I guess the main thing is if you ask the question, you probably, look.
Oh, that's the first picture you took of me after I give birth.
Oh my God.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh my God. Sorry, your hair looks fab now.
Does
yeah,
it?
Love. Yeah. No, it looks fab.
It's still growing back.
Because considering you lost it, it looks really great now. Now, does anyone want to pick like one more question? Because I think this podcast is like a million hours long. So.
Oh yeah. But no, we have about an hour of footage, though.
But I love it.
Give us a cocktail invention you have tried and loved.
Oh.
Cocktail
invention. We're very cocktail. Boring here. No,
I just wanted to, it's something fun to end the podcast.
We can do another question. You can do another podcast or another question if you want. Now, I remember during lockdown, I don't know if this is a done thing already, but we used to do vodka, ice, orange juice and grenadine. Have you had grenadine before? No, the red.
That's like the bitters, is it?
No, it's not bitters. Oh, it's just it's like this red syrup. It's like a syrup.
Syrup.
But when we were kids, we used to get grenadine and Coke when we were in the pub, when we used to go to the pub with our parents.
Quirky.
Yeah, you get a bag of potato and the grenadine and the Coke. Yummy. Sit there for hours on the Nintendo DS.
Is it alcoholic?
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's alcohol-free. But vodka, orange juice, and grenadine with ice. Yum. I think that it has a name, though. I think it's like a something sunrise.
Oh, tequila sunrise.
Maybe it is a tequila sunrise, but we do it with vodka.
Vodka, yeah.
Okay, nice. What about you, Dibby?
A cocktail? I don't know. I love elderflower and stuff.
Yum.
So nice. Or rosemary in cocktails as well.
Really?
Yeah. I think there was one in that. I used to work for Leapcard and we'd always have our work parties in Milano.
So
Milano's fucking shite, but their cocktails,
God, it's
so bad.
Every time I go there, I'm like, maybe it's going to be good this time. Because remember back in the day, Milano's was like the in place to go.
Yeah.
And then you just go and the pasta's hard and the pizza's cold.
It's horrible.
It tastes like fridge. Like, yeah, it actually tastes like the inside of a freezer. Like, I remember being like, oh my fucking God, how is this so popular?
Yeah. Can I tell you a secret?
The dough balls are yummy.
You know, so I heard this.
Oh.
So basically, if you get a bad taste in your mouth after pizza, it means the dough has gone off. Like if you have really yucky in your mouth.
Oh.
But I heard this about Domino's. So like, I feel like Domino's, Domino's will always give you a yucky taste.
Yeah.
But if you have like a really like, ooh, taste in your mouth, that's what I heard now from someone who works in Domino's.
Okay.
Yeah. And
Insider scoop.
Sorry, do you know the wedges are from Lidl?
I know. I've gotten them from Lidl. Oh my God, they're yummy. In the air fryer. Stunning.
Oh, the air fryer.
Bring it up. I
seen one more question. What does this mean? Faves of this month.
Yeah, what are your favourite things of this month? I'm loving my Kindle at the moment. It's like my emotional support. Even though I do love the feel of a physical book, but the Kindle is just so handy.
For night time.
Yeah.
Because you can lie on your side.
No lights.
And no lights. Yeah.
And so light in your bag as well.
Yeah, so handy.
You don't look as cool if you're reading in public.
No.
She's like holding it up to Kim. If you're reading in public, it doesn't look as cool or sexy. With your Kindle, like there's nothing sexy about a Kindle.
No. I've been the chair, mic holder. I was about to say chair holder. I've been the mic holder of this podcast. So, like, I'm sorry if it's like vroom, 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 because the girls are like sitting like right beside me, but like I'm trying to like get both of them in quickly because, like, obviously, if we were in a studio, there would be no like vroom, vroom, because
it's not as intimate.
It's not as intimate. I just think with Kim, we were just like, We just wanted a girly chat. Yeah. And I just think sometimes in the studio, I can be a bit more reserved.
Yeah.
And I definitely, obviously we said this before, like we love Shane to bits, but like someone else is listening. Yeah. And like, I just didn't know how this podcast was going to go. I didn't know if there was going to be tears or like, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I was just I think this would be better for Kim to be in here. But like, I apologize if my mic skills are off.
No, I think they're... I think everything you do is perfect.
This actually, Debbie. So what was your faves this month? To end this podcast.
Faves this month. I'm gonna say, like, I'm gonna go for an experience.
Oh my god! Fire away, Kimmy.
Oh. Other Side Festival. 2023.
No way.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say I did get FOMO. It looked so fun. It was one of those, you know, when like everyone goes to Gaeltacht at the summer, and it's like, oh, you're all great friends, and you had a fucking great time. Yeah, we all know.
Oh yeah,
yeah, putting up like 3 albums on Bebo and Facebook.
Yeah, we've seen it all. Fuck, I actually am gonna go with an experience as well. But I was going to say I'm loving my skincare at the moment.
Love it.
Yeah, it's just something that it's because all the stuff you gave me, Keelan. I'm like, Keelan's like second hand, like hand me downs. She's like, I don't want this, you have this. Mm-hmm. It's like perfectly packaged, still perfect. But I'm loving that. It's making me feel really like, I feel like in the mornings, if I don't now, I was never a massive skincare, like I'd be like, slap on the moisturizer from Boots and I'll be grand. But like, I'm really loving my serums.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nice little ritual to have it yourself,
isn't it? Like, just, you know, you have your shower and then you and like, I don't even know what the fuck half of these things do. I don't even know what they are. It's like Heptibes, he bop 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 deep, and I'm just like throwing them on my face, and I'm like throwing like millions of these like water serums. They're probably not all meant to be put together, but I'm like, I'm gonna do it anyway. Do you know what I mean? So and yeah, and I'm like, I'm like, I don't know what to do for Boom, because I'm like, I don't want to bring all my, because I'm not booking a bag on.
I got a serum in a pharmacy on Barker Street, and she gave me like this like sample thing. It was like, but it was like a full box of like 4 like unreal products, and they're in like tiny packaging. I was like, you know, when you're like, how is that a sample? I was like, how is this free? It's like so good, and they're all perfect sizes.
Oh, are you gonna bring them?
Yeah,
oh,
for they're travel. All like perfect.
That's so good.
Brilliant.
Like, thank you very much.
Oh my god, I'll be using some of them then.
Yeah, so good.
Well,
guys, thanks so much, Kim, for coming on.
Yeah,
hey, thanks, guys.
That was so good. Isn't she the best, guys? Okay. Isn't she just the best? Okay, well, I guess we'll see you later.
Bye!